Introducing the Faith Series, a transformative audio sermon experience crafted by the visionary minds at spiritnerds.org. Each week, we bring you a curated collection of powerful sermons from theologically sound preachers around the globe, delving into diverse topics that address the depths of our spiritual journey. This remarkable series has become a beacon of inspiration, touching the lives of millions of Christians worldwide, from faith-building messages to practical guidance and navigating spiritual matters. The Faith Series is a wellspring of blessing designed to ignite your faith and deepen your relationship with God.
This is our goal, that we might stand before you and receive a commendation. Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Strengthen us in our work with you to sustain this goal in mind every day of our living lives, in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. God bless you in Jesus' name. 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. First Samuel chapter 2. Beginning from verse number 12. So in our assessment of the texture of a theme, the texture of ministry, the texture of government, the texture of a theme, we must probe into the source. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." That's a probe. That's an inquiry into the source. There was a need to press beyond the identity that was linked to Eli, because there were manifestations in their lives that were contrary. Then a microscopic view of their true texture traced them to Belial. Hallelujah. And there's a quiet comment there, quiet commentary. Huh? What? You are afraid. What's the quiet commentary there? They knew not the Lord. Could it be that not everyone that claims to be speaking for Jesus that knows not? Could it be that not everyone that claims to speak for Jesus knows Jesus? Could it be that not everyone that stands to represent Jesus knows Jesus? And in this terrible day, we will need to have utensils by which we probe things, by which we test things, so that we will not be victims of the policy of mixture that Satan intends to implement in our time, where we have a situation that is descriptive of what is in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning from verse 24. There is a matter in the book of Ezekiel chapter 22, beginning from verse 24, that we may need to avoid, and that is what necessitates the need to probe further. Are you with me? It says, "Son of man, say unto her," this is our challenge, "Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation." Next verse. "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Now, this is an activity. It's a growing development in society. And God is bringing the attention of the prophet to this growing development. Now, these are the order of things. First of all, there is a case of a lion devouring a prey. There's a case of intimidation. There's a case of exploitation that is going on. That's one of the things that God alerted the attention of the prophet about. Hallelujah. A reality of intimidation and extortion and exploitation. It's like a roaring lion. You know, when a lion roars, the objective is basically to advance intimidation. He said that reality is found among my people. There's exploitation, there's intimidation. He said they have devoured souls. So many people's life have been plundered. So many people have been brought to a point where they don't want to have anything to do with the pastor anymore. You must understand that the emphasis of the spirit of Baal is to turn the hearts of men from God. And how that happens is that people that are victims of this policy of darkness, of exploitation, intimidation, first-hand victims of these realities, normally vow never to have anything to do with church anymore. Whenever you see that a man's heart is turned from God, it is the spirit called Baal that is at work. So there's a description of several items here. So we just mentioned one, which is intimidation and exploitation. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. So there's financial malpractice and extortion. And all every precious thing for that matter. Like virginity and so many precious things have been taken. Hallelujah. And there is this accompaniment of intimidation that is advanced alongside. Because I've met with people before and they were told that if you tell anybody, you will die. Hallelujah. And they have made her many widows. Many mourning people in the midst thereof. 26. Are you there in 26? Where's my... He said, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things and have not put... They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. This is the mixture I'm talking about. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. So part of what God is trying to achieve in our time is to orchestrate policies that will generate a difference. There is something called separation. And from the very book of Genesis chapter 1, you will see how God separated the day from the night. It took an effort of God to separate the day from the night. He said, these kind of people, they operate effectively when there is no difference between the holy and the profane. When the demarcation is not wide enough. So they just play around in the midst. The day the difference is made, and it becomes clearer what is profane, it becomes clearer what is holy, you will find out that a lot of these dishonest activities will begin to cease. So this is the situation that God is attempting to reverse. A situation of mixture. Where there's a mixture of what looks like holy and a mixture of the profane. So you say, okay, it's not altogether bad. It had a good side. So let us talk about the good side and forget about the bad side. And there are always agencies of compromise and people that want to intimidate righteous voices so that they will not comment on the anomaly. But it was God himself that drew the attention of the prophet to this situation. And it is our responsibility to ensure in this day, since we know that what is on the mind of God for this season is to bring a demarcation between that which is holy and that which is profane, that which is clean and that which is unclean, who labor in this direction as long as it is a present revelation position in the spirit. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right, so you understand what I'm talking about now. So you can now see how that the Bible reveals that the sons of Eli were sons of what? Of Belial. And meanwhile, that's the first time in the Bible that we are seeing that a set of people have two fathers. The understanding of these young men in the light of their connection to Eli was not adequate basis to define the activities. So a more advanced probe had to take place. And then it was now revealed that their source was what? Belial. Are you there? So we can actually go beyond the miracles. We can go beyond the breakthrough. We can go beyond the things that attract people's attention and probe the source. For instance, are you with me? Are you with me? For instance, you will notice that God asked Moses to speak to the rock so that the rock can produce water. But Moses, in disobedience, in rebellion, he struck the rock. And water still came out. If your means of evaluating is results, which is basically our means now, Moses had results, but the root of the results was what? Rebellion. We need to probe beyond the weakness of our doctrine today. Because our doctrine is shallow, it is weak and wicked. We need to travel beyond it to find the source point of things. What was it that was responsible? That is the undercurrent behind the results that we see. Only prophetic people are ready to go through the trouble of trying to find out the source and the undercurrent of the manifestations that are seen. If there is any generation where we need to administer very effective probes to find out what the source of everything is, it is this one. Because somehow our perception of the teaching of prosperity is about making it fast, making money fast, becoming relevant fast, getting more likes on Facebook fast. So that's our perception in our generation. That's our perception of what it means to walk in divine prosperity. And in the light of that perception, we have standards of measurement in light of that departure from a balanced position of truth. For instance, if you came into this place trekking, it is likely that my generation will see you as someone that is not intimate with God. Because the ultimate manifestation of or the proof of the fact that you have a walk with God will be evidenced in the kind of stuff you drive, the kind of house you live in, the conditions under which you operate will be suggestive of the fact that the hand of God is upon your life. That's the weak and the wicked gospel that I'm talking about. Because it is possible for you to get all these things without God. And you know we have people in this nation that do not subscribe to our God. They are better in these matters than even the ones that preach it. This is a time of sober reflection where we need to get back and check our doctrine, check our lives, and know the things that we have believed and pursued and then compromise it with the Word of God. And that's the diligent job we want to do in a measure this morning, because it is possible for the sons of Eli, the children of a priest, to be drawing their essence from Belial. Are you there with me? Yeah. Somebody was trying to invite me, and the person was sending to connect me for the invitation. This was what he told him. He said, "I need that man, bring that man quickly." His basis of wanting to invite me was that we were visible on social media. And when I come to his place, there's a likelihood that the crowd will come. But he didn't stop there. He said, "But his fear is that if I come now and I don't know how he raised this place, I will now destroy the things that he's building." That's his fear. So, is that really an invitation? Was that an invitation? So there were things that have been used to build the place that I'm not aware of. And there's a likelihood that those things will suffer loss if by any means I accept the invitation. Meanwhile, he was still extending the invitation. Now, there are a lot of principles that have been used to build things. How many of you have read this book called 48 Laws of Power? 48 Laws of Power. But, okay, how many of you have seen it? No, okay, there's a book like that. Now, if you read the back of the book, it tells you its source, the principles that powered the compilation. It says that the book is a documentation of amoral principles. If you are a scientist and we say asexual, we mean that it is lacking sex organs. Are you there? So if we say amoral, it means it is lacking in morality. The thing about spirituality is that you cannot be spiritual and not be morally sound, but morality is not the same as spirituality. You can be moral and not be spiritual, but you cannot be spiritual and not be morally sound. And the guy is saying that the undercurrent that drives this compilation is that it is amoral. The principles of morality have been put aside because the objective of this book is results. Now, in the last 6 years, how many of you have seen that caption as an annual conference theme for ministries? Results. Hallelujah. You see, when we begin prophetic probes, some things that people that lack discernment will rejoice about are the things that others might weep on. And what we intend to establish, like I said, is to purely demarcate the profane from the holy. Are you with me? I was working at the depot one of those days, and some sons of the bondwoman that felt I was an interesting fellow came to me and gave me a proposal of how we can run some business in the oil sector. And they came with the figures. They came because they do it. That's what they do. So they came with the figures. They came with the analysis. They came with the percentages. And if you look at it on paper, it's something that is interesting. You want to be involved. The margin is good. And I am a regulator. I was a regulator at that time. So if I use the weight of my office to influence this thing, it will even give us better margins. So the fact that the margins were good was paramount. But you see, when we were done with the statistical aspect, the analysis aspect, they now said, we need to go to North Bank. If you have been to Makurdi is divided into two parts. The River Benue divides the city. So we have the North Bank and we have the South Bank. So the North Bank is more, is the camp of the sons of the bondwoman. So they say we need to visit North Bank, and there is a ritual that we need to conduct that involves a ram. It is that ritual that will guarantee that we are committed to each other. Because man is a creature that can sway to the left and to the right. Hallelujah. So the principle that they brought to support the statistics was not consistent with the principles that prevail in the kingdom that I subscribe to. So ultimately, the principles you operate are pointers to the kingdom that you function in, the kingdom that you subscribe to. And this matter is critical. So I told them that I'm not opting out of the business proposal because the figures are not good and because it is not practicable. But this aspect of the deal that involves a ram. How many of you have attended Lagos Business School? Did I tell you about the ram? Okay, you have. Were you lectured on the ram dimension of business realities? Ram. So we'll take a ram and then we'll swear, we'll put the blood. The moment we begin to subscribe to that principle, it means that we have taken advantage of the principles of the kingdom of darkness to advance what we call good. But you see, that good is a kind of good that lacks God. Because there was a good in the Garden of Eden, which was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was no God in it. So if your analysis is based on good and bad, you are wrong. Because there is a good that is not God. You know, a time came when we had this slogan in the body of Christ, if it is good, then it is God. You will use that slogan to kiss Satan. Because there's a good that is not God. You realize when that rich young ruler came to Jesus, what did he say to him? He said, good master, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus rebuked him instantly. And in his rebuke, what he said was that there is none good but God. Jesus is trying to qualify the good that the guy is talking about, because Jesus knows that humankind can have a perception of good that is different from the good that is of God. Are you there? So what Jesus meant was that my godness is the reason for my goodness. Goodness flows out of me because I am God. So don't say that I am good if you don't acknowledge that I am God. It will mean that the good you are talking about is a good that is exempt of God. But my goodness flows out of my godness. Are you there? So don't call me good if you don't acknowledge that I am God. I'm not good because I'm God. I'm not God because I'm good. But I am good because I am God. You get it? The difference? So we need to probe beyond face value. Is it good? Then it is God. I will show you from Genesis to Revelation goods that there is no God factored in. So if we want to play the game of only touching the good that flows out of God, it means that we want to function by the principles of God, and our lives will be an illustration of the position of the kingdom of God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right, let's do Acts chapter 19. This is just a summary I want to do before I enter into another matter. Acts chapter 19, beginning from verse number 13. Acts 19, verse number 13. Went to minister somewhere in the north, and then a music minister was invited, came to the podium, and took the microphone and she began to sing. Her voice was as thin as that of a nightingale. She could do all kinds of stuff across octaves. Her vocal cord was treated with lime because what she could do with her voice was a miracle. But while she ministered, the Holy Ghost in my spirit had a problem. Because what she was doing was good. But at the end of the day, at the end of that service, we discovered it did not come from God. May you not be trapped in the good island. Make effort to go to the God island in the name of Jesus Christ. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus. Are you there? So some guys became interested. They had looked upon the ministry of Paul and they saw the authority he exercised. And they felt it was not so difficult to learn what Paul was doing. So they copied his utterances. They copied his vocal deliveries in issuing authority. And they came to real evil spirits. The problem about this matter is that the person they came to was possessed not with a cartoon spirit, but a real evil spirit. So this was their declaration. I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. Now, next verse. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew of the chief priests, which did so. You will notice that when the evil spirit was doing the analysis, in split seconds, the spirit had gone to the archives of the demonic realm, to find out if there was any record of these individuals that were trying to expel them in the archives of darkness. Next verse. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know. So even demons run checks beyond face value. Demons. Jesus I know, Paul I know. We have no record of you. Demons run background checks. But the average believer will just embrace a stream without checking its source. Demons probed into the source of the authority and found out that there was no record of these guys in the realm of the spirit. On the strength of that, the demon was saying, there is no reason for us to obey you. Meanwhile, there was nothing wrong with the authority charge. I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. Well, unfortunate for them, it was Paul that preached Jesus. They did not. And they were in league with real devils. And even demons run probes to find out the source of a man's authority. So when you come upon the scene as a preacher and you begin to do damage to demons, you can be sure of one thing. These demons are going to run a check on your source. Are you there? When they ran that check, they discover that they can molest these guys without any consequence. And one demoniac, he dealt with seven men and they ran naked and wounded. If he had just wounded them, it would have been good. But they ran naked. That's what happens when a man without the needed credibility begins to tamper with the kingdom of darkness. The consequences are instant and shameful. But it is possible for someone to masquerade, because God is a God of mercy. His objective is that he wants to bring everyone to the knowledge of the truth. And so when someone begins to masquerade as an angel of light, the repercussion doesn't come instantly. But you see, the person's enterprise is not likely to prosper if the priest in that generation make a demarcation between that which is holy and that which is profane. It doesn't matter how he tries to do his stuff, because the discernment quotient that is available and rooted in the body of Christ is on the high side, he cannot sell his fake enterprise in the body of Christ. So one of the most noble labors that we need to bequeath to the body at this time is the principles through which we can run spiritual checks and find out the source of things. Because that's what Jesus would do. And he did that in the book of John chapter 8 verse 44, where we read yesterday. Hallelujah. Now, I'd like to show you something quickly, because I did a research on false prophets. And I've been doing that research for the past 3 years now. Hallelujah. Been doing that research for the past 3 years. By the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I began to do that research. And I looked for books everywhere that will help me build muscle in the research I was doing. And unfortunately, I did not find so many. And the ones I found were scanty. So I knew that I had to do that research myself. These are the things I found. It is not yet complete. When it is fully complete with all the needed muscle, we will put them in a book. But these are some of the things I found. Still talking about source. Are you there? Do you still remember that if we go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, beginning from verse 21, Galatians 5:21, if you are helping me, help me out. He said, these are the works of the flesh. I'd like to pick one of them, because the operating system of that which is dead is set up on the flesh. And the operating system of that which gives life is set up in the spirit. So let's look at the layout of the flesh a little. These are descriptions of works of the flesh, things that the flesh is capable of manufacturing, things that the flesh is capable of producing. And whenever you see these things, you trace it back to its source, and the source is flesh. Do you understand that? So when we talk about the concept of sowing and reaping in the Old Testament, it has to do with sowing grain. Okay? We can also apply it to mean sowing money, and that will be effective. And that also is partly the concept that is captured in New Testament layout. But this matter of sowing and reaping goes deeper in the New Testament, even though it acknowledges giving as sowing and all kinds of sowing. Sowing mercy, sowing kindness. So all of that is still under the broad subject of sowing. But the uniqueness about the subject of sowing within the landscape of the New Testament is where you are sowing into. Because you can be sowing into the spirit, and the Bible reveals to us that what you are hoping to get by that investment is what? Is life. You can also be sowing into the flesh, and the Bible reveals to us the expectation that you should have if your efforts of sowing is in the flesh. Are you there? Now, so we need to take inventory of this operating system called the flesh, because the flesh is to Satan what your recreated human spirit is to God. This is the infrastructure that Satan is going to be floating on if he comes into your space. And the flesh and the spirit are concurrent realities. It means at every point in time, Satan can speak to you through the flesh. And at every point in time, Satan, God can speak to you through the spirit. So the infrastructure of the flesh is still available. So you can, Satan can get your attention. Satan can think his thoughts through your mind. Are you there? So all these realities are going to be bumping into your space. And that's why it's need for you to be able to discern them, so that you will know what you will yield to. The book of Romans chapter 6 reveals that it is possible for you to yield to the flesh. It means that the flesh and the spirit are concurrent realities. Okay, let me read to us. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Can you go to 20 so that we put all of this? Go to... Now the works of the flesh are manifest. So these are manifestations of the flesh. And surprisingly, the Bible calls it works. It sounds like it takes a lot of effort to produce this. It sounds like it takes a lot of exertion to produce this. You will need to violate your spirit to walk in this. You need to violate the promptings of the Holy Ghost in order for you to establish this and to become comfortable with this. It will take a lot of effort. And the first on the list is adultery. Second is fornication. Third is uncleanliness. Fourth is lasciviousness. That means, lasciviousness means anything goes. Now, if you are on the broad path, and that's what the Bible means by the broad path, anything goes. We can do fornication, we can do prophecy, we can do adultery, we can do forensic dimensions of word of knowledge. Anything goes. We can go left, the positive terminal. We can also touch the negative terminal. Now, in such quarters, what you are going to find is that this trivialized position about the things of the flesh, so that it can be accommodated in the ecosystem. And I've seen that across Africa. And the people that operate like this are more noisy than any set of people, because they are trusting to use the power of social media to achieve their feat and to help them spread. So they pay big money. They are on television. They are in your face every day. They are on cable in your face every day. They put a lot of money into doing this, because they know that the Lord will not power those voices. So they need to do something humanly possible to create that level of spread, that level of consciousness. And there is a product that they are advertising. It's a product of lawlessness. It means there is no law in that space. Anything can go. But when you come into the kingdom of God, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Now, you see, there are two things we're told to seek. You seek the kingdom. And what does it mean really to seek the kingdom? Hallelujah. You seek to know the policies of the kingdom of heaven that God is setting you up as an individual to implement. The kingdom is so vast, and you need to find out the policy of the kingdom of heaven that God has raised you to implement, and then you focus on it. Please help me tell your neighbor that your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. When you yield to the Holy Spirit to accomplish that which God has raised you to accomplish in the earth, and what God has raised all of us to accomplish is different and is particular to us as individuals, and if you don't seek it, you will never know it. So you need to seek the policies of heaven that touch your life that touch your destiny. The Bible also says we need to seek the righteousness that is in that kingdom. Now, are you there with me? If you have ever been to a court of law, there is a statement you are likely to stumble on, maybe on the day that judgment is passed. Then you hear the judge say something like, you are discharged and acquitted. It means that you are declared righteous. The accusations against you are false. You are in right standing according to the laws of this land. And so when you begin to seek the kingdom of God, don't just seek to know the policies of heaven that affect your life as an individual. Also press to find out the laws that governs your practice. Because it is expected of you to be in conformity and compliance with the laws that govern your practice. That's the only way your service can be adopted by God. And God will say, this is my work. The laws that govern your practice must be part of what you need to seek out and begin to implement. There are so many things the anointing can do. The anointing has capacity to do so many things. And when you walk in the anointing, people will want to deify you. All right? But if you know the laws that govern that anointing that you carry, you will not come into problems with God. Because you want to walk uprightly, consistent with the laws that govern the kingdom utensils that God is handing out to you to prosecute your destiny. Are you there? Why I made all of these comments is that when you begin to go closer to God, the higher you go in God, the more you realize that the laws increase. Your path is going to be constrict. It will become, the higher you go, the laws God will put around your life. So that is there are so many laws up there. Sometimes I wonder how people like Pastor Kumi survives. Because as God is giving you kingdom utensils, giving you spiritual insight to steward, giving you grace, giving you power, if you are not wise, you will just take off like a tornado and you will not go to the same way you pressed in the spirit to know what your calling is. You press in the spirit to know what your purpose is. You press in the spirit to know where you are supposed to begin to implement and to pioneer this thing that God has told you. The same way you press, that's the same way you are going to press to know the laws. So that you can walk uprightly with those laws. So it is possible for you to be anointed, but you are out of sync with the laws that support that realm that you are carrying. So I'm trying to make you understand that lasciviousness is not an option in the kingdom of God. You cannot be so liberal that you can operate from the negative and the positive terminal. In fact, as you grow in the spirit, it becomes, oh my, the options reduce. Because you can no longer claim that you are not aware. Have you heard statements from Jesus? He said, forgive them for they know not what they are. There's a time that comes where you know what you are doing. You know, like I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. Are you there? I know what I'm doing. So it becomes constricted. You are the weight of the government of God becomes thicker on your life. Are you there? A woman came to our ministry, stayed on for 9 years, was after 9 years. She came to visit me in the office and said, now I can bring my daughters. After 9 years. Very critical woman. She would just put her specs here like this. And after 9 years, she came to the conclusion that we're not looking for women. That's a protective mother. And she knows that even in the body of Christ, there are wolves. I don't know what experiences she has had in the past that made her put her spectacles here. Because she knows that the possibility of finding wolves in the house of God is high. And after 9 years, okay, this one is called this, this one is called that, this one is this number of years old, this one is. She came 2 years later and said, look for husbands for them. That's the difficult aspect. That one was, may the Lord give you understand. That aspect is a difficult aspect. But you see, she had trusted me to a point where she believed that if I say there's something that is, she was. There are laws. The anointing that you carry is a trust. And Jesus is telling you how to be accurate. You need to seek to know the laws that governs what you are stewarding so that you can comply. The realm does not allow for lasciviousness. The moment you begin to see symptoms of lasciviousness, it means that there is another operating system and the name is called flesh. Lawlessness, when you see that, because there is no aspect of the kingdom of God that God allows to operate without his government. Now go on. Yeah, next verse. Idolatry, then witchcraft. So we are going to use witchcraft as one of the signposts. I hope you know all of these things are of the flesh. I don't want to go do so much and to move into other words. Let's use witchcraft. So there is a dimension of the operation of witchcraft that is rooted into the fallen nature. It's part and parcel of the fallen nature. And when we talk about witchcraft, we are saying a tendency to control, a tendency to dominate, a tendency to intimidate and to bend. Are you there? A tendency to dominate. That tendency is part of the wiring of the fallen man. Now, it will interest you to know that in the case of Saul was the one, the apostle that pioneered the extinction of other mediums in Israel. He shut down the shops of necromancers, he shut down the shops of diviners, shut down the shops of soothsayers. So soothsaying and divination and all of that was no longer popular in Israel because of the conviction of the king Saul. I will show you in scripture where Saul began to embrace the things of the flesh. Because even though he had lost favor with God, he still wanted the people to acknowledge him as someone that was in favor with God. That angular shift, I hope you know that's manipulation. Samuel was saying, you are out of the game, but he wanted Samuel to still walk with him as though everything was okay, to present a charade before the people so that the people can feel that everything is all right. Now, a false minister really is concerned about his packaging, how he looks on social media, how he looks in the public space. That is area of interest. Whether or not it's in alignment with God is not the issue. Whether or not it's in God's good books is not important. What he wants is that he must be shining, he must look right in the eyes of people. All right? So, Saul started from that level of the flesh and he accommodated it. It was part of his principles of governance. And it came to pass when the obvious reality of his disalignment from God was revealed in the fact that God stopped speaking to him, he could not consult God with the Urim and the Thummim. He could not consult God with the effort. If you use the effort to consult on Saul's behalf, God will not speak. Even prophets that were in the palace, that used to pick things, the moment God expressed his displeasure with Saul, those prophetic guys, their antenna, their channel were shut down. So there was no way that Saul could access divine help in his condition. The same man that was used to the ways of the flesh now felt it was important for him to consult a medium. You see, he began witchcraft in the flesh. Are you there? And a time came where he felt there was a need for him to now consult with the spirit of witchcraft. And that's why I'm asking you as a preacher to go back and listen to what you preached 10 years ago and listen to what you are preaching now. It may seem that you might find a shocking difference between the two. I went to minister in Botswana and I was told about a preacher that is very popular, that he was actually born again once. And I was also told about the accomplice, people that took him to altars to fraternize with Satan. So he was born again once, and those people know him as a Christian. And they also knew when he went into spiritism. And you may not know, but Nigeria is even a bit sane when it comes to pastors mingling into spiritism. As we travel, West Africa is a bit sane. And when I say West Africa, I'm talking about not every country in West Africa anyway. But when you travel out, then you begin to see mixtures of all kinds. And it's a norm. So somebody's concerned about how he looks before the crowd. And so we need to probe beyond the natural. Because what the people want you to see are things that you look out for. So we need to probe deeper to find out what happens behind the scene. Does this man have God's testimony? And that's why we cannot put aside the witness of the Holy Ghost quietly in our spirit. Because God himself put a measure of discernment in every single believer. And it is time that we listen to the voice of the Spirit of Truth as it bears witness concerning things. Okay, so here. Are you there? From operating witchcraft in the flesh to operating it by a spirit of witchcraft. Now, in my Bible study, I found out that there are three major reasons or three major outlooks of a minister that is operating from the flesh. The first objective of all his activity, number one, is gain. Gain. Second texture of their labors is that they use people. They use people. They don't build people, but they use people. So everybody is a tool to be used. If you know the responsibility of discipling one believer in the house of God. As you have seen them, they are lawyers. They are. How many of you in this choir are barristers? Let me see. Okay, we don't have any barrister here. Okay, how many members of our workforce are barristers? Learned people. Let me see. Okay, there's one there. So you might see, sister, stand up. You might see a sister like that and not know that she's learned. All right? Very learned. And then, you know, everybody knows who wants to use them. Over time, it will become clear. Not with spiritual gift, too. Over time, it will become clear if the objective is just to use her. Sit down, lawyer. So first, there is this emphasis on gain. Secondly, there is this emphasis on using. And that intention to use is the opposite of build. How many of you were able to pray for 10 hours before you joined us in RCN Lagos? Okay. Let's do it the other way around. How many of you could not pray the way you are praying now before you join us? So you see, something has been built, a capacity has been built. And if capacity will be built in people, there is only one way it can be accomplished, is through sacrifice. So discipleship involves commitment, it involves sacrifice, but anything that is built on the flesh is an activity that is designed to use people. Number three, the overall objective, of the initiative is selfish. It is self-centered. The overall objective is not empowering the body of Christ, not laboring to unveil the mind of God, and to develop kingdom content and make it available for anyone that wants to navigate on the Lord's path. All of these are not part of the objectives. It is an enterprise that is what? Selfish. When you see that church becomes, is operating like a business, then you need to understand that genuine ministry is absent. Because the objective of business is profit. So if I pray for you, you pay for the prayer. If I prophesy on you, what do? You pay for the prophecy. If I lay hands on you, you pay for the anointing. If you are coming to see me in the office, you come with service charge. So you will now discover that what is going on is not a service that is inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it is a business that is running. You pay for prayer, you pay for blessing, you pay for consultation and counseling. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Then you will know that the objective is a business. And if it is a business, then it is rooted in the flesh and God is absent. This is my own personal research. Okay? All right. Should I go on? Number what now? So, in an initiative that is powered by the flesh, you will see the preacher using curses as a means of control. That if you do this, the curses of our ancestors will come upon you. So when you see an atmosphere where people are regulated by curses, all right, just know that that's one of the insurance policies that the flesh makes available. If you can release a curse and say, if anybody that operates like this, you are cursed. It's a way of witchcraft. It's a way of control using curses as an instrument. Whenever you see the need to use a curse as an instrument to gain some form of compliance, is an indication of the fact that what is going on there has its operating system in the flesh. Because the way Paul did ministry was that he commended himself to every man's conscience in the fear of God. It is in the privacy of their conscience that they received a nudging from God to begin to follow Apostle Paul. Do you understand that? There was no more barricade that was built to contain the people other than the witness of the Holy Ghost that was administered on their conscience. When you find that, and there's a lot of that right now, is now the trend for curses to be used as instrumentalities of dominion and control. Those are principles of witchcraft, and they are rooted in the works of the flesh. I'm saying that the flesh can masquerade and be, and it can do ministry, the flesh. But these are the symptoms that you are going to find in a situation where ministry is done under the operating system of the flesh. I wanted to drift today into the major theme of the conference. But I'm going too far here. I have a few scriptures I want to read this morning. Ah, Jesus. Okay, let's just stay here. Let's stay here. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Number what? 5. When you discover that in the history of the ministry, there is in the foundation of the ministry, they pioneered that ministry in rebellion. According to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22 to 24. Please help me. Help me. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22 to 24. If in the foundation of the ministry, you have any form of rebellion, and the work that we claim to be doing for God was pioneered under the auspices of a rebellious spirit, this is what the Bible has to say about that. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey, these are equations from the Spirit, equations. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. That's the first spiritual disclosure. It's a spiritual knowledge that Samuel gave. And the first thing he said is that it is to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. How will it look like if you ask someone to bring the equipment? Maybe the equipment is outside, and you ask the person, bring the equipment in. And instead of the person bringing the equipment, the person begins to scrub the floor. And it might even be that scrubbing the floor is more difficult than bringing the equipment. Are you there? The person has exalted that sacrifice much more than obedience. The only reason why you should be in ministry is not because someone, is because you are doing it to obey God. Are you there? Obedience to God. That's why I'm here. I'm here in obedience to God. We finished building a very good place in Benue State, and it is customary, according to the trends of our time, for you to build a good place, and then you get situated in the heart of the place, laboring to fill the place. And while they were working on my office, there were arguments. They said, no, the office is too small. They had to break some walls and extend the office, and then they finished the tiling and the screeding, and it was white and fine. Glory. And they came in with big tables and chairs. So I walked in one of those times. They had not yet painted the wall. It was a big white office. And I sat on the table, and the Holy Spirit whispered to me and said, your place is not here. Your place is not here. Your labor for me. That's if you want to obey me. I know this place is good. This place is all right. This place is comfortable. It's convenient. But if your business is the business of obeying me, what I want you to be doing right now is to hop from place to place, from city to city, from nation to nation, bearing witness of my kingdom. That's your place. So I now call Chief Don. I said, you've been looking for a place to pray and all of that. Here you are. Pray here. Because I knew that if my business was going to be obeying God, we were in an auditorium of 250 capacity. Then we built an auditorium of 4,000 capacity. Don't you think that I need to be doing everything possible so that the place will be filled up? That's another calling. That is a call. May you not be trapped in your own calling. May you not be trapped in your calling. May you not be bothered about your calling. So if you want to still remain relevant to me and to obey me, discontinue from claiming this place and let's meet on the field. Since that instruction came, it's about 1 year, 8 months now, we've been hopping from place to place. When I checked how many boarding passes I had for last year, it was 54. 54 boarding passes. The last time I checked, the number of weeks in a year are 52. I had 54 boarding passes for last year. Because the great one came to me and said, meet me on the field. Your place is not here. All right? So meanwhile, I never envisaged that after we got that place built by the hand of God, then God will now be more interested in having me be outside of that place than in that place. I'm saying that even in your own honest attempt to be relevant, you might be doing something that is not an emphasis in God. Obeying the voice of the Lord is better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of ram. So this is spiritual knowledge. He gives us another spiritual knowledge in verse 23. Please go to verse. For rebellion is as the sin of. That means rebellion equals witchcraft. You see, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is different from sacrifice. Are you there? But rebellion is equal to witchcraft. Can you see the formula? These things, he said, came from spiritual knowledge. So if you have a ministry that was pioneered under the auspices of rebellion, there is nothing of God that can hang on it. Now, Watchman Nee taught us this. He said, all sins produce darkness, but the sin of rebellion produces the highest measure of darkness. That's Watchman Nee. I'll never forget that. After I read that, I had to check my life to see if there was rebellion in any aspect of my dealings whatsoever, and to live free of rebellion so that my works can be wrought in God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Is there any record of rebellion that is tied to it? If there is rebellion, then it will produce darkness. If there is rebellion, then it will produce death. You know, I told you that our probe has gone beyond whether it is good or evil. Where is it now? Whether it is life or death. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, number what? Number six, using hype to replace the Holy Ghost. Hype. Yeah. Hype. H-Y-P-E. Hype. So somebody holds a microphone, and then when you talk, then the person will hype it. Have you seen that? Things must be rolling. Things must be rolling. So when you say something, then the person will, you know, the person has a voice that can, you know, so he does that in the back. And that's preaching. If anybody goes high in the house of God, it should be under the influence of the Spirit of God. And meanwhile, we don't need a hype man behind the scene to make any difference. So when you begin to see all these things, you just see it is rooted in the flesh. That is showing you the source. Now, and we need to be this detailed so that you can understand what is the nature of this thing. The thing can be as big as a stadium, but if it is the flesh, it is the flesh. For the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So when you see those hypes, I think you need to make up your mind at those points. Are you there?
Yes,
and then finally, you see things like selling of prophecy. I was in a meeting when a minister was ministering. He came to a lady and said, "Your name is Grace." She said, "Yes." He says, I'm seeing there's one money." Okay, then he said, let's negotiate. This money I'm seeing, how much will you give me?" He said, "Okay, I will give you 40%. He said, "But I'm the one that is seeing it." And he was negotiating, okay, 50-50, yes, okay, 50-50. Then he now continued and said, "This amount, you will receive an alert of." Then, meanwhile, the drummer was already... So, prophecy is for sale. Our spiritual sight, our spiritual capacities, once we begin to flow in it, then we monetize it. And everybody pays some amount and pays some amount, and everybody is happy. Now, you see, we are old school people, and the Bible says, "Freely have you received, so freely give." So, if you are in the service of Jesus, we'll see it by your method, by your strategy, by your approach. We will know what powers what you do, whether it is flesh or spirit. Meanwhile, this list I just read out to you is doing ministry powered by flesh. There is another list here doing ministry powered by evil spirits. There, he has his own symptom. Oh, you are not with me. Because you are... You see, I've been doing research for 3 years. What I just read to you is, are the symptoms you will find if it is done by flesh. I have a list, and that list is more exhaustive, of the symptoms you will find if it's powered by a spirit. I mean a dark spirit, not the Holy Spirit. You are not following. Since you are not following, I'm going to stop. First symptoms you will find if it's powered by a foul spirit is that there will be a chain of ladies that have been used as a sex objects. Chain of ladies. Anyone that operates under the influence of a spirit of divination will have an insatiable appetite for sex. In fact, that is what is used to service the power, to renew the power. So there are going to be chains of ladies, chains of them, many of them. And for many among these chains of ladies that have been used in this regard, these ladies are going to have issues with bleeding, continuous bleeding. Just in case, as a minister of the gospel, someone comes with this symptom, just ask the lady, "Hey, can you tell me the story behind this matter?" I can tell you like a mathematical formula that if there is an issue of persistent bleeding after that act, then there is a very strong spiritual matter, and you will need to have rank in the spirit to be able to help that lady. Are you there? Two, if a spirit is used, you are going to find these symptoms on almost all the members. Confusion, depression, and the spirit of accusation. Confusion, depression, and the spirit of what? Of accusation. Haunting the members that have been under this influence. What number is that? Number three, if a spirit is involved, then we are going to have what is called demonic impartation. Demonic impartation. Demonic what? Impartation. Now, it's obvious you are not very interested in this, my list. So, I have shut down for now. Amen. Now, listen to me. By the grace of God, I am a missionary, and I preach from place to place, bearing the word of the kingdom, and prophesying, preaching, and praying. And part of the trends I see on the field are people that have received demonic impartations. Where is Toby, my man? Now, I will conduct a practical here now, and we'll find at least two individuals in this place that have received demonic impartation. Because I know you don't believe. So we will try to locate two individuals that are victims of demonic impartation. Demonic impartation is a terrible menace. A strange menace in the body of Christ. If you say you are a minister of the gospel and you don't have power to expel devils, you are not relevant in this time. There are many businesses that have opened up in the ICT realm. Go and learn one and you will make enough money. There are remote jobs now online. You can be hooked up to a job in Brussels while you are in Lagos, and you are making £1,000, £2,000 every month, and you can do great things with £2,000. £2,000 is how much in Naira now? What? They know. Glory to God. 1.5 million. You say you don't know how to cast out devils? It's not part of your ministry? Then your ministry is elitist. It's not sent to this generation. Because I have statistics to show you that the level of demonic contamination right now has never been in history. Never been in history. Never been in the whole of history. People that unfortunately, I went to Enugu to preach, and they brought a lady to me that was deaf, barrister, deaf lady. So I ministered to her, she began to hear, and the whole family was excited. And I said, wait, how did she become deaf? She went for a crusade, and a man of God laid hands on her, and she became deaf. Yes! Philip, were you there? You see, there are a lot of, I have so many experiences because I've been on the field from the village till today. She became deaf because a man of God laid hands on her. Yes, in Enugu. In Enugu. Yeah, okay. That meeting, this actress called Mama G, she was there. So when I asked, how did you become deaf? And they said it, Mama G shouted, ah! That's how the person became deaf. Do you know how many people are contaminated? You sent your child to school, and your child comes back, and you know this is not your child. Contamination. He has gone somewhere for one night vigil, and the guy just renewed his powers and came to professor. Shall I professor? I bend my knees to pray in the night, and the Holy Ghost will tell me, you cannot be weak now. There are so many people that have been polluted, and they need to be cleaned up. That's what happens when there is no demarcation between the profane and the holy. Demonic impartation. This lady begins to do something like prophecy, do something like word of knowledge, that she sees visions and all of that, and then people believe that it's prophetic. Meanwhile, it's one of the resources that was picked up from a strange place. If you allow that spirit there for too long, it will wipe out the appetite, the desire for the person to go to school. No, I'm already a prophet. It will blot out every desire for the person to be responsible, for the person to want to develop his or herself. And control by this spirit begins to seep in and to disarm every aspect of the person's life. And if we don't intervene quickly, you will find a situation that eventually the psychiatrist will call a mental health challenge. And all it was a demonic impartation. I've walked into the psychiatric ward before. And the reason why I came was to discharge some people. I didn't know it was wrong. I said, wait, why are we doing deliverance in the corner and doing it on Sunday morning? See the people. So I went to the psychiatric ward. Oh my God. You don't know how much zeal I have. Zeal, zeal. I said, we are doing this thing by the corner. If it's true that we can do this in the name of the Lord, here they are. So I visited the psychiatric ward and looked for the most terrible case. And the boy's name was Sunday. You see, it was on Christmas Day. And I was on white suit. The first time I wore my wedding suit after my wedding, that was that day. Because my wedding suit was big on my wedding day. I had fasted. I was dry. I was inside like fish swimming. So after many years, I put on weight. And then the suit now fitted me after like 5 years after my wedding. May the Lord give you understanding. So I just discovered that it's my size now. So in that joy, I arrayed myself. But it was in that same apparel that I was in the psychiatric. Do you know I saw people that were in that place that had no business being in that place, because the reason why they are there was a demonic impartation. And I say this because I have a gift that enables me to know things like this. May God help you to know that I'm not saying it boastfully. I'm crying. All kinds of stuff. All kinds of things. All kinds of things. One member of our fellowship in Benue State, he said, my daughter is wedding and you don't know her. You have not blessed her. Let me bring her. Brought daughter. I said, this one is dead now. You say, you have to. Don't worry. Come. Sit down. Take a seat. Then I went there and touched her. Then she fell off. And then this black, I don't know what they call it, this black stuff, went up. It was white for 30 minutes. I said, come and see your daughter that wants to wait. I said, she went somewhere and they deposited something. And whether she is aware of it or not, part of her blood is being drawn. And especially when you are burning low, there's no fire on your life. You are born again, but burning low. And it's nobody's fault. You chose to operate that way. Ah, you are a victim. You are not free. That's why we cook fire in our lives. So that if something hits us, it bounces. It bounces back. So I cast the spirit of death from her. Then the mother now said, what if she didn't bring her daughter? Well, that's your fault. Whether you bring her or not is your fault. But I've seen so many contaminated people that went and picked things up. When you interview them behind the scene, you now discover they did nothing wrong other than going to a place where they received a demonic impartation. Now, the first thing we'll do this morning as practical is to snuff out every demonic impartation in this place. Now, I need your permission to go into this line of ministry. You don't? Okay. Now, so, are you there? During the course of what we want to do, some of you will manifest. You don't mind. But you see, anyone that manifests will ensure that the thing is casted out. I have seen people that received impartations like that, they couldn't marry. The same way we release impartation, people go, breakthrough, they prosper, they do well, all kinds of stuff. When you receive such impartation, it begins to fulfill the devil's wishes, the devil's intentions in the lives of men. And the people don't know where it comes from. Yes, that's the reason why we should never, and I mean never, my children, the people I pastor, the people that hear my voice, will never sit under someone that uses a spirit that is not the Holy Spirit. Never. Are we there? Oh my God. So what we'll do in this practical is that we'll speak in tongues for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. there are dimensions of poverty that are unnatural. Just lack, just this lack that you cannot explain. It's just drought, it's famine. Moske sosandeli mohobris ikamendolia samante kuse barakatali brahais kompalami naskupre hedekedeni busa seliko bresko vilame gandolobo sokoria bahabedisko bresko valato akateni. For 5 minutes, you just exercise your spirit. For 5 minutes. Because a work of purging will take place here this morning. The work of purging. Has the spirit of death been deposited upon you? Did you pick up something that is not of God? And it is manipulating your life, it's bending your life, it's influencing your life. Yeah. Sofelabando, presco feti, nebro cantelia, jamakundeli, rebeketekos kadabala, ruska babandele koseminaite. Those deposits and those trees that have not been planted by God must be rooted out. Sevilla compre che tale suvesa ma hai compana ma su cabale presco pelecado presco satala bande e su se la hai compado a branse cude mandeli a cababon sacatala. Rakaseli mokoria bande bobo sokoto Iso sana kante baboria, jenikai tobezi, apres kompokodo, brakatala babonsane, akandos iko babata. Rata baboke samenai, jaminantale babosante, yeko semino kompres, kito bande baboria. There is a purging that we want to ask the Lord to do in our midst today. Break every chain, to break every chain. Esoko mahalatalia kezonaid. Deso sento che boroski tabrante, akai kombala masiko, resko filanteli, akame sola kadia, akanta babonde, asima kadebona, yata kesko tebrela, asebilantoria, esiko presko valantelia. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now, first of all, before we go deeper, I want to ask a question. Now, is there anyone in our midst you suddenly began to hear voices? Suddenly began to hear voices and you suddenly began to experience sexual activities in your dream. That was not the case before, but that is the case now. In fact, for one of the persons that we are, that I'm talking about, the sexual thing, the molesting thing has become embarrassing. Because it doesn't only happen when you sleep. You can be trying to focus, you can be trying to read, and then you begin to have those experiences. Now, these three things, if what I just said looks like your condition, come out. Now, there's someone's case who is very serious. That's the one I tried to describe. Even when you are awake, this spirit can come and molest you. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. And there's this, you know, when this deposits upon people, what happens? Are you with me? Stay with me. When these deposits are upon people, they are not able to maximize their potential. All right, so this is what I will do, okay? I will touch you just so that my hands can make contact with your head, just like this, okay? I will touch everybody on the front line. All right? Then I will pray a prayer. Then you'll see the effect. Just a touch. And then I will pray. So now I've touched everyone that is in the front. Listen to me, listen to me. For everyone that has a deposit on them, even though I've removed my hand from your head, my hand will remain on your head. Now wait, don't say amen, just keep quiet. I've removed my hand from your head, but for everyone that has a deposit, you will see the impact of my hand being on your head in the next 17 seconds. In the next 17 seconds. The impact of my hand being on your head. You will see it. So you are beginning to see the impact. The impact of my hand being on your head. You begin to see it in some seconds. In some seconds. In some seconsIf there's a deposit, there will be a reaction. Because anytime you introduce something of God, and there's something of Satan, there's going to be a reaction. Now, there will be a reaction for many of the people standing in front there that I touched. There'll be a reaction. There'll be a reaction. So that's one. That okay. It will intensify now. It will intensify. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want you to help us this morning remove that deposit. And let there be a reaction. Let the deposit react out. React out. React out. React out. React out, react out, react out, react out, react out of those lives. React out, react out, react out. Now, if you notice, when I touched them, it was not forceful. It was not forceful at all. It wasn't forceful at all. Okay, it's even coming stronger. The wave, there's a wave coming. There's a wave, there's a wave. There's a wave, it's coming strong. It's coming so strong. There's a wave, there's a wave. There's a wave. When I touched them, it was not forceful. I'm just trying to show you in the best way I can the presence of deposits. 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 So I will touch again. I will touch again. You see, when I touched them, it wasn't forceful. But any time something of God comes in contact with what is not of God, there is a reaction. There's a reaction. Right now, you see the reaction? Now, there are still three of you standing on the front line who still have a deposit. And the hand of God is going to intensify, and you are going to see the reaction before I release the rest. Father, those three others still standing in the front line that have a deposit, let there be a reaction so that the deposit can be snuffed out, so that it can be removed, so that it can be taken away, so that it can be taken away. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's start again from here. Remove it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. So those of you on the first row, you can go back. Now listen. There's somebody still in the congregation. This spirit that molests you in your dreams has started doing it when you are awake. I'm looking for you. Come to me. Come. The spirit that molests you in your dreams now does it when you are awake, and it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. Those of you on the first line, you can go back so that I can have access to the people on the second line. First line can go back. First line can go back. The one that is being molested in the daytime, come to me in the front here. Come here. Come. So what is your experience? You're in the daytime?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just last week. And it's all right, sir. Any other person? Now, I don't know how to say this. No, I can't say it. Now, so we will touch her a little. And then the hand will remain there. Because if darkness is present, when you introduce light, darkness cannot handle light. Darkness cannot. So the illegal union is hereby destroyed. You are in the same category? All right, so we'll touch you here, and we'll touch you here, touch you here. Lord, let the weight of your glory begin to descend upon them, and let every darkness be destroyed. Let the weight of your glory descend, and let darkness be destroyed. Let the weight of your glory descend, let darkness be destroyed. Let the weight descend, and let darkness give way. Let darkness give way in the name of Jesus. Let darkness give way in the name of, oh my God. Let darkness give way in the name of Jesus. I separate you from this contamination. I separate you from this pollution. I release you from this manipulation of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Be free. Be delivered in Jesus' mighty name. Be delivered in the mighty name of Jesus. Be delivered in Jesus' name. So those of you in the front, I will come again and just touch you. Can ushers, is it possible to separate the line so that I can you make two lines out of this so that I can still finish? Okay. So we'll just touch you, and it will be very light. It will be very light. Very light. It's all about introducing light, and then you will see that darkness doesn't have the capacity to endure the presence of light. Amen. Just touch you a little. So in the next 17 seconds, anyone that has a deposit, you begin to see a reaction. It will begin to intensify. The reaction will intensify as the hand of God. Oh my God. It will intensify. It will become stronger. It will begin to intensify. It will become stronger. And the Holy Spirit will rip it off. He will remove it. He will remove it from you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, All right, so I sense the presence of the angel of the Lord that normally comes to assist me in deliverance. And the reason why the angel has disclosed his presence is because there is a case that is very diabolical. And in the next 12 seconds, the Lord will begin to reveal who that person is. The hand of God will come upon you in 12 seconds. The case that I'm talking about. It will be so strong. Now, bring that individual. Just lay hands on his head and begin to speak in tongues. Father, if there are complicated issues of bondage associated with these matters, I ask that you stretch forth your hand and destroy it in the name of Jesus. Destroy it in the name of Jesus. Someone was supposed to function as a medium. Yes, we destroy that yoke. Raise her up. It's a yoke. I just need to touch her forehead. All right. So, leave her. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Now, this is a... Let her go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, let every deposit on their lives be neutralized. Let the attendant limitations that come on the account of these deposits, let it be neutralized. In the name of Jesus. All right, you can go. But allow her, leave her. Huh? Okay. I mean, don't release her to go. We still have some. Listen to me, listen. If while I was ministering, your hand, especially your right hand, started becoming hot, you started feeling hot on your right hand, so you just raise that hand for me. Let me see. While I was ministering, your right hand started becoming hot. It means you have a part in the deliverance ministry. So come, come. You have a part. You have a part in the deliverance ministry. All right. So if it's possible, just move her that way so that I can come there. I know that I was sent to help her, so we'll deal with her case. You felt that heat on your right hand? All right, so I'm going to pray and there'll be a deposit. Amen. Meanwhile, there are two people that use thick glasses that God wants to heal. You use thick glasses. Before the service ends, you are going to be healed. And the service will end in like 15 minutes or so. Or my session will end in like 15 minutes. So you'll be healed before 15 minutes, okay? Now stop speaking in tongues. Just listen to me. I know you are. There's fire everywhere. Just listen. Now I want you to receive, not... Now listen. Okay, yeah, brother. It's okay. He's good. He's good. So the reason why I wasn't using force. Okay? Just touch like this. So that you will know that I'm not influencing anything. All I'm doing is introducing light. Introducing life. Then we'll see the reaction. Okay? You don't need to push anybody. Just that hand that felt hot. Just. That's all. Okay? So. In the next 20 seconds, the heat will come back. And it will become a fire in many lives. It will start with heat. Then it will become a fire. It will start with heat. It will become a fire. It will start with heat. It will become a fire. Is that fire that will, is the deliverance fire? If you walk in that fire, if you walk in it, demons will be displaced. So the heat is being transformed right now. It's becoming a fire. It's becoming a fire. It's becoming a fire. Lord, we ask, let this fire begin to burn. Let it burn as a sign that they have this impartation. They have this deposit upon their lives in the name of Jesus. Let the fire begin to burn and let it burn so strong. Let it burn so strong. Let it burn strong in the name of Jesus. Let it burn strong in the name of Jesus. Okay, it's coming even stronger. It's coming even stronger. It's coming strong. There's an intensity. There's an intensity. There's an intensity. There's an intensity. Holy Ghost. There's an intensity. There's an intensity. Yeah? The intensity. Oh my God. So that's a flame. That's a flame. If you carry that flame, demons cannot stand you. If you carry that flame, demons cannot resist you. If you carry that flame, if you carry it, you cannot be resisted. From the little fire, it will become a big flame. From the little fire, it will become a big flame. Look at what's going on.
Receive the empowerment in the name of Jesus. Receive the empowerment. Anytime you are clothed with this fire, then you become all kinds of things will begin to happen. People will be delivered. Thank you, Lord. So the first line can go so that I can access the second line. So the hand of God will transform that heat to a fire. The heat will be transformed. So receive your portion. Receive an impartation. The heat will be transformed. It will become a fire. It will become a fire. The heat will become a fire. The heat will become a fire. A fire. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The heat to become a fire, to become a fire, to become a fire. Lord, yes, I have laid hands on them as instructed. So now make the heat a fire. So he will come. He's coming. Make it a fire. Make it a fire. Increase the intensity. 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 Make it a fire. Make it a fire in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So that these ones also will be... Oh my God. The fire is here. Yeah. It's a fire. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us on this incredible spiritual journey through the faith series brought to you by SpiritNerds.org. We hope these powerful sermons have touched your heart, expanded your understanding, and ignited a flame of faith within you. Remember, the journey doesn't end here. Continue to explore the depths of faith, seek wisdom, and embrace the transformative power of the gospel in your daily life. Stay connected with SpiritNerds.org for more uplifting content as we strive to be the source of inspiration for millions of Christians worldwide.